addition to what we've talked about. Well, one thing you do is you first create in your environment a slight fence in which the tree can start to grow. This may mean in wherever you live, be it your bedroom or your apartment or wherever it is, you create some small sanctuary, some little place where you can turn off the worldly games. You set up, you take an old crate and you make a little box and you put a cloth over it and put a candle on it and incense. And if you have any pictures of realized beings, hang them around and bring only beautiful things to it, not worldly possessions. Bring earth and wood and stone and water. Things of nature, not things that have gone through men's minds, unless they are like that master made the magicians, the music stand. Create your puja table, it's called. Create a place where you can hang out with high beings in your head. Create a special environment for yourself. And what do you bring to this place? You bring Ramakrishna, and you bring Christ, and you bring Buddha, and you bring the Bhagavad Gita, and Ramana Maharshi, and the Zohar, and on and on and on. Bring the holy books. Bring the books of realized beings, the books of people that have made it. Not the books of people who are talking about how to make it. Be careful. Be careful, because they're a little like Typhoid Mary. Because not only are they telling you how to make it, but they're telling you why they didn't make it. Why they're still the guys that are telling you how to make it. I mean, like, if you're going to read a book about Ashtanga Yoga, read Patanjali. If I write a book about Ashtanga Yoga, don't read my book, read Patanjali. Or if you read my book, don't read it by your puja table. So you set up an environment and you don't fill it with Time Magazine and the New York Times. No pretty music. No gratification of the senses in that sense. Just a calm place. You start a center. You start a center. If you're really going on sadhana, you have got to make the entire scene that was profane sacred. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Where do you live? You live in an apartment? You don't live in an apartment. You live in a temple. You live in a temple. I got to visit my brother. He's in a mental hospital. He's in a mental hospital? No, he's in an ashram. Say, this is a groovy ashram cell you've got here. He says, this is my doctor. I said, that's the abbot. They lock you up if you redefine their reality. They. You create your own universe. You're going to live in it. Desire creates the universe. Which universe do you want to live in? I live in a place, I'm the keeper of the temple. I keep it clean, neat, and I keep it in a place where I can keep my head high in the middle of it. Keep perfectly calm in. All of the acts are consecrated. Do you eat food? No, I don't eat food. I take prasad. Because everything I put into my mouth, I go through a process of reminding myself about the drama. Because who I really am, Om Mane Padme Hum, Om Mane Padme, it neither eats nor it sleeps. It eternally is. It eternally is. No eating, no sleep. Eating and sleeping happens. It goes under the bridge. Eating and sleeping happens. It sleeps, it eats. So I go through consecration. I pick up the food. Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavir, Brahmagni, Brahmanahuta, Brahmaitan Gantabhyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. That's the first half of it. It says, this ritual of doing this, is part of that which lies behind the illusion, which is called Brahma. the food which is being offered is part of the illusion, is part of that which lies behind the illusion, is part of Brahma. He who is offering the food is part of that which lies behind the illusion, is part of Brahma. The fire, the hunger to which the food is being offered, is part of the illusion. It is part of what's behind the illusion. It is part of Brahma. He who realizes that all form is part of the formless, all karma is Brahma, becomes one with Brahma. Discrimination, the technique of discrimination. Is he a bus driver or is he God being a bus driver? What do you look at when you look at another person's eyes? Are you looking at them with lust? You're looking at them as subject-object? Can I make it with you, baby? Will you love me enough? Is it subject-object, or are we one being just looking into the mirror of ourselves? I mean, just try looking directly into people's eyes all the time. It's a very, without power. See, it's a very interesting thing. Because almost everybody in the West that looks into your eyes has a power game going. Look how much I love you. Look how much I love you. I'm really here. I want you to know. I'm going to control you. Look deep into my eyes. You are getting sleepy. Eyes also happen to be the windows of the soul. I look into my eyes, other people, my eyes, wherever, whoever this head, body they're in, just like I look at the candle flame. The same thing. I'm looking at light. That's all I'm seeing. I look directly into a person's eyes, and you should see what I go through when I look into people's eyes. See, people come to see me, and they come and they sit down on a mat opposite me, and I sit there and I do my mantra and I look into their eyes. And just like I look into the candle flame, exactly the same thing. There they are, and I'm just looking at them. Just hanging out with a light. And they go through this business. Boy, I'll tell you, I've been trying to do sadhana, but I... And you watch, it's beautiful what happens. A person comes in, first their head does all this stuff, see? They're like looking at this and that and all around, you know, and depending on how neurotic they start out. And then you're just sitting there, just like a big glass of water, just being there. See? And pretty soon they get down so that it's just their eyes that are doing this thing, see? And their eyes are going like boom, 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 boom. And you're watching it, it's with disbelief. I mean, it's just like, all this. Then their eyes get down to like this very fast flicker. It's like a rat when it gets close to the goal grating. You know, it's near the shock box and the food at the same time, and it keeps running back and forth right near the edge. And its eyes are just going like that. Wow, dig that. It's a long way into this place, isn't it? You don't threaten, you don't ask, there's no power game, you're not trying to win them over, you don't want to seduce them. Desires create your universe. I don't have any desire. I just happen to be here. And here we are. We just happen to be here. That's all there is. That undercuts all paranoia. Do you understand what purity is? Purity is desirelessness. Total and absolute desirelessness. That's what complete purity is. And when you look at another person with desirelessness and you are really here and now, that is total love. That is total love. Because it is no longer a subject-object relationship. I will be just as much here as you can be. And if you can be all the way here, there is just here. There's no you and there's no me. There's just here. And if I am very quiet inside and the mantra's going very calmly and I'm just looking, what I see extraordinarily, I see these like clouds, I see veils between my eyes and the other person's eyes. And what do I say to myself when I see the veil? I don't say, oh, he's holding back, or she doesn't trust me. I know that the veil takes two to dance, and it is my impurity that's creating that veil. The only place you ever have to work is on yourself. If you want to change your universe, you change yourself. That's the secret of the game. We teach by being. We teach by being. All you can get from me is my state of being, and you can hear where I'm hung up, and you can hear where I'm not hung up, and you can feel the light, and you can feel the darkness. And that's what you walk away from here with, not all the words. We teach by being. It's a vibrational communication. And as high as my vibrations are, that's what is going to resonate in you. And that's what you're going to walk away having the faith strengthened in, that place in you. And if you can look in me and see that it's possible through a place in you that feels alive, that's the message. That's the transmission. And if I were totally pure, if I were finished with my son, if I were an enlightened being, I could sit here and take you all right to here and now, just by my presence, because I would be an absolutely pure mirror and there would be nowhere you could hang any of your paranoia. No hooks. But you've got to be that pure. You've got to be that pure. And pure means no subject object. Extraordinary experience to work, to be in that place. All the time. All the time. Try it on the bus. Try it anywhere. First, it's scary because it's so open. And you say, I'm so vulnerable. Who? Who's vulnerable? Vulnerability is part of the drama. Who you are isn't vulnerable. I mean, you look at somebody with total love and they look at you like they want to wipe you out. Like, what do you want of me? What are you, a dirty old man? Your impurity. It's not them, it's you. Just go in on yourself and be more pure. Because you're still saying, look how much I love you. See? There's still an I and a you. Finally, you're just standing in the bus. You're perfectly mindless. Just being here, being love. And everybody you see just feels that feeling. It's just like the sun came out of heaven and got onto the Third Avenue bus and is standing holding on to the strap. And everybody that looks gets warm. They feel warmth and light. You're not coming out and saying, look, I'm the sun. Hey, baby, you want to get warm? Hang out with me. No, there's no come on. There's no come on. You see, the only way I could really do this, if I were a high being, is really, I've got to tell you, is where I'm totally indifferent to its effect. As the Bhagavad Gita says, do your work, but don't be attached to the fruits of your efforts. Set thy heart upon thy work, but never on its reward. Work not for a reward, but never cease to do thy work. Do thy work in peace, free from selfish desires. Be not moved in success or in failure. Evenness of mind is yoga, a peace that is ever the same. Work done for a reward is much lower than work done in the yoga of wisdom. Go beyond what is well done and what is not well done. Go thou therefore to wisdom. Yoga is wisdom in work. If I am caring about whether you can hear what I'm saying, then I am caught in the drama. And it's only if I can do this with total non-attachment that you can hear anything. So complicated and yet so simple once you see the way the game is played. What non-attachment is. So complicated yet so simple. Simplification of life, consecrating one's acts, quieting one's mind, finding a quiet place from which to view the passing drama. Reducing the amount of stimulation that imposes on you and that keeps you agitated. All of these are part of the work. Surrounding yourself with the minds of beings who are doing the work and who have already finished. Once you understand what the game is, this is all there is to do. I was on the bus coming up and I was sitting next to a couple and somebody else came along that knew them and they said, "Where are you going?" They said, "We're going to a party." I thought of the concept of party. I thought, "Do you realize I have been in New York for 3 weeks? I have not gone to a party. I have not hung out. I have not gone to a pot scene. I've not listened to rock and roll music. I haven't gone to the opera. I haven't gone to art studios. What's happening to me? Man, I went to one bookstore to look at holy books. My God, that isn't me. What's happening?" You have to give it all up to have it all. You've got to move back from it. It's not even suffering. There's no suffering. I'm quite content to just sit and be calm because it's all deepening inside. It's going so much deeper. I mean, all of that almost sounds sacrilegious to you when I say, "I don't crave to go to a museum." What happened to your culture? Art is beautiful. Have you been to the Living Theater? Did you go to the light show? You've been down to the village to that new... Have you read the... Did you look on the other night on TV? Have you tried that new... You mean you're not interested? Did you read in Time last... You mean you don't? I mean, will you realize that Eisenhower's dead? What's that? Who's where? Oh man, you're too nutty for me. You're not living in the real world. You're not living in the real world. Whew. Wow. Boy, how far out the play is getting. I mean, the actors are trying to convince the audience. You see how far out that is? Wow. Oh, Monday fed me. Oh, boy, compassion. That's all I can experience is compassion. Sure. I still get on the bus. I come here. I do the gig. I go home. I eat. I sleep. I go to the toilet. I go to bed. I do just things like real people do. That's the water going under the bridge. Wow. Look at that. Whew. Pass it through. Pass it through. That's karma yoga. That's karma yoga. And after you've done that for a while, you watch your own desires create your universe with absolute awe. absolute awe. You wait until you have watched your own sexual desires at work. Amazing how they work. Amazing. Watch your own paranoia. But just watch it. Don't get into an evaluative thing. Oh, you got a superego still. Oh, I'm bad for having that. Watch that one too. Wait until you watch your superego. Wow, that's a gas. Sits around evaluating everything. Don't confuse the evaluator with the witness. Two different beings. See, like I'm supposed to eat rice and dal and milk and honey, but I love root beer, see? So suddenly there I am drinking root beer. And I say, oh, damn you, you're drinking root beer. You'll never get ahead. Never get ahead. It's all so poignant. There he is drinking root beer. There he is putting himself down for drinking root beer. How poignant it all is. How poignant. Lusting again. I mean, you know you're not supposed to be walking down the street looking at that girl's legs. I mean, what kind of a thing is that for a sadhu, a renunciate, to be looking at that girl's legs? And thinking those thoughts, oh man, where are you at? You're going under. You'll never make it. God, I got to get out of New York City quick. For hell and damnation is this is Babylon. Terrible. How poignant. How poignant. The terrible beauty of nature is all where it's at. That's the where it's at. People come and say, do I have to give up sex like you've done? Well, if you ask it that way, the answer is no, man. You couldn't even if you wanted to. Because what you give up is you give up the attachment, not the sex. Got to understand the distinction. It has nothing to do with sexual act. It has to do with desire. And if you sit in your room not having sex all day, it's the same trip. You might just as well be making it. I'm not going to drink root beer. I am not going to drink root beer. Today I will not drink root beer. I'm going to have a good meditation. I'm not drinking root beer. I'm not drinking root beer. Who am I kidding? I certainly look good, don't I? I really look like I'm having a good meditation. No root beer. 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 Maybe no physical root beer, but plenty of attachment. Attachment's the key. Watch your own attachment. Only when you develop the ability to stay in that place inside yourself which watches it all, as it's happening, does it start to fall away. That's the you that sees it all. It sees the judge, it sees the actor, it sees the desirer, and it sees how the desire creates the universe. Watch it all. That's karma yoga. We end these evenings with bhajan. Bhajan is the singing of songs in the praise of God. It's also another way of saying it, it's a highly sophisticated method of getting your mind calmed down by a repetition technique of a very simple repetitive phrase that keeps you identifying and thinking about higher process, higher beings, the light within.